Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory, but on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
This is Wretched Radio, the word du jour, which is also the word of the day. Sounds delicious. I think I'll have that is...
Dead.
That's right. The word of the day is
dead.
Why? What's the most annoying sound in the world? Me, apparently.
Dead.
In response to the Southern Baptist Convention, the big votes are in, overall, a mixed bag. I think that there's mostly, if we want to put encouragement on a meter, where the right side, it's like, tick, 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 this was all excellent. I don't think it's doing that. But if the left side is discouragement, I don't think it's that either. I would say if we've got a metered range, it isn't even in the center. It's probably pushing about not quite two-thirds to the encouragement side based on the votes that came out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, you might not be a Southern Baptist Convention, and you're wondering, why have we been on about this subject so much? Imagine a world without the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, you might not be a fan of, say, church polity in the SBC, that there's a broad range, that it's elder rule, elder led, congregational model. You might not even be a fan of the level of worship that is presented in many Southern Baptist churches. We can all get along on that stuff, can't we? But to have a world without the SBC, it would leave a massive vacuum. If the SBC went bonkers, if they took a turn to the left, and I don't think this convention indicates that they've turned to the left, the nation would feel it. It is the largest Protestant denomination in the country. And overall, I think the estimation of most is it's nowhere near mainline Protestant. It is mostly conservative in varying shades. And we want that. We want this institution strong. Now, culturally, I think it would make it, if the SBC just disappeared, that somehow it just got teleported out of here, you'd feel it. You'd feel it in culture. You'd feel it in your town. You would feel it in elections. That is why we're on about the Southern Baptist Convention. We want it to rock. And overall, I would say, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't good. Let's dive into the numbers, shall we? The big issues, probably the two biggies, would be the law amendment. This was the amendment that said, that's it. No more conversations, no discussions. This is it. We are codifying this for 2 years in a row. The office of elder is reserved for men. It didn't pass. It required a 66.66% vote, got 61%. But that's mitigated, however, by another vote that took place. There's a church that is not considered anymore in friendly cooperation with the FBC. It's First Baptist Church, Alexandria. They were voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention because they have ordained several women as pastors. Here's the vote. 6,759 to 563. Whoa. So I have to confess, that's mysterious to me. It's like 90-some percent said, yeah, they know you can't be a part of this clambake because we believe that the office of elder is reserved for men. And if you're doing that, then you got to go. Then why didn't they pass the law amendment? I just don't understand. I suspect that there was a little bit of a word game going on where there was emphasis put on, hey, we can't be making churches conform to every jot and tittle, so we don't need this amendment. But then they pass a vote for the church to get removed. So they're willing to do it, but they don't want to cut. It's like, overall, though, bending to the right. So why the discrepancy between the 90-some percent, rather, that said this church can no longer be considered in friendly cooperation with the SBC? Removing a church, but not voting for the law amendment. Jimmy, has anybody sorted that or figured that out yet?
I don't think so, and I may be wrong here in my assumption, but I want to believe that it has something to do with the Baptist faith and message and just changing it.
It's not a big deal. But year ago when they voted on the law amendment, it was over. It was almost 90%.
Right.
Please note, I think there were a lot more of the messengers at the last convention. I think that there was a conservative, hey, we got to get there. That doesn't appear to have happened in Indianapolis. My observation could be wrong. But it seems that there were fewer messengers and the vote was skewed because a year ago, it was almost 90%, and over 90% said bye-bye to Saddleback and Rick Warren's female church, female-driven church. Hey, hey, there you have it.
Yeah,
Saddleback, a female-driven church, right there. If anybody has an explanation, send it to idea@wretched.org. Now, this church in Alexandria that got booted out, the article that I read about this was in the Baptist Press, and this is something that I do believe we need to be out on the lookout for. Notice the adjectives. This is the article. The SBC voted to discontinue its cooperative relationship with a Virginia church that has a female associate pastor. Associate, lose the adjective. Pastor is pastor. Whatever realm it's aimed at, we've got to lose these adjectives. The church has ordained at least three women over the course of four decades. The messengers voted 6,759 to 563 to say, nope, you can't be here. And throughout the article, they go about the business of talking about this church has these associate pastors, but they were willing, this was kind of the straw that broke the SBC back, they were willing to ordain a woman as a senior pastor. There's no difference. There's no distinction made in the Bible. We got to lose that. That is something that I think is going to have a long-term effect. Because if you can sneak, hey, no, we're not talking about this is actually that. So it's a redefining based on just slapping an adjective in front of it. So this is kind of the good news. But the bad news in it is it was because they were going to ordain senior pastors, and apparently that was just a bridge too far. According to Mike Law, 1,800 Southern Baptist churches have women in the role of pastor. That's not good. That's not good at all. And that will do nothing but grow. If you leave that unabated, that will grow. Now, Heath Lampert, thankfully, brings a word to encourage us. He points out in his article, which was presented at FBC Jax, J-A-X, First Baptist Church, Jacksonville. We love Heath Lampert. His book, The Great Love of God, awesome. He was the former president of the Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. He's pastoring at, hey, First Baptist Church, Jacksonville. He wrote an article that said, yeah, there are some things that mitigate the disappointment. Now, see, he's not the academic on the level of, say, me, because he said it mitigates our disappointment. I say, which clearly is the more academic way to present it. Number one, Clint Presley, oh man, he was voted in as the president of the SBC. These are the words of Heath Lampert. Presley, is a wonderfully faithful pastor and a theological conservative who is committed to expository preaching and wants the SBC to refocus on our theological convictions and missional cooperation. Good. He's an outspoken proponent of the law amendment, even though it didn't pass, and he's a member of the Council for Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. That should be, might there have been a more conservative guy? Perhaps there were six of them that were running. But come on, that ain't shabby, is it? Number two, he comments on the amendment was really, really close. We meaning they, needed 66%. They got 61%. That ain't chop liver. That's pretty good. So overall, the takeaway, in my opinion, from the SBC convention is let's be, I would say, moderately encouraged. I don't think you need to be discouraged, but I will say this. Don't get lazy, my SBC friends. Don't think, well, didn't quite work out. There's no point. I'm telling you, liberals never sleep. They're just going to keep tugging and pulling and chipping because they're relentless in their assault on what is convictional and conservative. So if you're in the SBC, we're still pulling for you, encouraging you to pull to the right. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth, where tough questions get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org because, look, winging it only works in bird watching.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Andrew Walker. He's one of eight new voices joining this ministry later this year. Dr. Walker is the managing editor of World Opinions. He's also an associate professor of Christian Ethics and Public Theology. Earning his PhD from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Dr. Walker has written extensively on ethics, including God and the transgender debate, and liberty for all. His work addresses the pressing moral issues of our time with clarity and biblical conviction. And leaders like Dr. Walker are joining our ministry later this year to provide critical content for navigating today's darkened culture. Your support can help us bring even more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign today. All of the details right now are available at wretched.org/fellows. wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Ambrose was the Bishop of Milan in the 4th century and one of the four original doctors of the church. He defeated Arianism by appealing to scripture and using well-reasoned arguments. Ambrose reminds us that a faithful teacher is a blessing to generations of Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please, please stop with the emails requesting I continue saying, yeah, yeah. This is Wretched Radio.
That's, how do you spell that?
Oh, wow. You don't know how to spell. See, that's the problem with living in a social media world. You just lose your ability to spell. Everybody knows how to spell. Nah, I'm not going to do it. One last note, if and you don't mind, from the SBC, and I would almost prefer to pull it out of the context of the SBC, because the former president, who was in for two terms, Bart Barber, delivered an address. And there was much to the address that could have been interpreted a lot of different ways, especially when it is in the context of the Southern Baptist skirmish regarding complementarianism versus egalitarianism. And I'm going to trust, because that's what we're called to do. Trust all things, hope all things, until proven otherwise. That should be our attitude. In fact, just received an email from a fellow who said that he wasn't sure about a buddy who... It seems like his motives might be not ideal for discipleship and discipling people, but he wasn't sure. What do we do in those situations? As Christians, our default. Now, I'm not saying this is my natural, because my natural is cynicism. I've seen that, but he said the word. But we're called to hope all things. Trust all things. Believe all things. So I'm going to trust that everything that I read about the Bart Barber presentation was not talking about complementarianism versus egalitarianism. It wasn't talking about essential issues. It was, however, addressing the necessity for us. I'll put it this way. So I'm not going to speak for Bart. I'll share some of his quotes. But to have some sort of rule book, a framework for judgment. And when we judge, when we see something that we sense is wonky, and we determine ultimately, yeah, no, I disagree with that, how we do that and when we do that. Has that ever been an easy task? No, all you need to do is look back in church history, go all the way back to the early church, and these issues, they were debated. Many issues, they were hotly contested. So, for instance, here's one, and this might illuminate what I think Bart Barber was after. In the early church, persecution, big time nasty. And Christians, they were being sent to their death, they were being executed, and they were being tortured under the demand, recant, we'll let you go, or we're going to make it painful, and it's ultimately going to end in your death. And there were some Christians who said, okay, fine, I'm not a Christian. And they renounced their confession. But then they were set free and realized, what have I done? In other words, they were like Peter. They realized, I've denied the Prince of Glory. And they wept bitterly like Peter. And what happened to Peter? He was restored by Jesus. And so people inside of the church then had to debate when these people came knocking on the door to say, yeah, look, I know what I said when I was on the rack, but that's not what I believe. Can I come back in? Do you think there was total agreement on everything? It was unanimous, this or that. Now, here's a question for you. Let's just say you're in the third century church. It's about 240. You're working through this. I think it was the Council of the Cyprian. Was he the guy who led it? There's a council going on. And you believe that, no, they should not come back in. And the people that you deem to maybe be not as conservative as you are say, yeah, we should let him back in. Now, my question is not about the individual who denounced the faith and has now recanted their recantation. My question is, what would your attitude be toward those who disagreed with you on that issue? Could you get along? Could you go to church together? We have issues from the church beginning all the way till now that require us to think this stuff through, and it can take some time. And Bart Barber's call, I believe, is to say, let's make sure that before we divide, we remember what we have in common. And I think that's a good word. And I'll be really honest with you. I'm not sure there's degrees of honesty, but I'll be really, really, really honest with you. This is a personal struggle for me because I'm right. And I don't mean just leaning. I'm right on everything, so I think. And I might think that certain things are super important, or as we've seen in church history, we only need to look through the 20th century to see how the church felt the pressure of the world. We feel that. And that makes some of these issues like, this is super hot right now. We got to deal with this. And maybe, just maybe, we overcook some reactions. Am I thinking of anything in particular? No, I'm not. And I don't know what Bart Barber was thinking about, but I think that's what he's after. That as we go about the business of disagreeing, we do it in a way that is, now this is a hard word, charitable. No, that means compromising. No, it means that we're charitable, that we want the best. Because I could have read this transcript from the Christian Post on Bart Barber's speech, and I could read it and go, oh, liberal compromiser. But I have no idea, but I can import that because that's probably my natural bent. And the Bible calls me to a different response. Okay, he's not after being squishy. He's not become a no left, no right kind of guy. He's after something that maybe doesn't affect or compromise any big essential doctrines. Here's what he said. Even when we need to deliver to people news that they don't like, we can deliver to them in a way where they unmistakably know that we love them. That's a good word. By the way, as an aside, earlier this week on Wretched Radio, used Calvin Robinson as a guy who sounded like that. This is why I'm so grateful that you send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Nah, I got it here someplace, where Calvin Robinson apparently likes to pray to Mary. Say what? And he's maybe got some other ologies that are problematic. So maybe we listen to him as a model for tone, but perhaps not a full embrace, because I'm looking at, this was sent in by Josh. Thank you, Josh. This is from Calvin Robinson, the guy that we played earlier when he was speaking at the Oxford Union. He's an Anglican. Maybe he's become Catholic. He's got the song, the lyric sheet for the Regina Kylie. Huh? Joy to thee, O Queen of Heaven. What? He whom thou wast meet to bear, as he promised, hath arisen. What? Pour for us to God thy prayer. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, for the Lord is risen indeed. Nevertheless, so it's not an endorsement. I'm just saying his tone was remarkable, that he was like so firm. And yet what Bart Barber is describing, nobody would say, I think he hates us. He continued, I don't know if we always have that going on in our churches. It's not weakness for us to be loving in dispute. It's godliness. It's obedience. Confronting and challenging one another in a prophetic tone, not predicting the future, is not the only way to sanctify people. And so you don't need to call down fire in order to help folks. Sometimes fire is needed. In fact, sometimes it's demanded. There are things that are so egregious, it's like, absolutely not. And I think a tone can take on a little bit more of an intense nature. It's hard to imagine that Jesus' tone is going to be, so depart from me, worker of iniquity. I can't imagine that. But we need to know those times. And we're never going to nail it. In fact, I think I was talking about something earlier this week, and I thought, I don't know that I got my tone right on that. It's really easy to miss that mark, but we need to strive for it. Barber went on to state the churches shouldn't build our brother up by tearing them down, but rather the godly aim that we have is that we should edify brothers in Christ and call them to greater service. He warned about how toxic our churches can become when we empower critics who do not want to disciple people. They just want to destroy them. They want to dominate them. Those people are in churches. Those people are on podcasts. They're on the YouTube machine. And we don't want to be those people that do nothing but tear down, nothing but shred, nothing but polemicize. Do any of those have a place? Yes. Should that be our fallback posture and position? I don't think so. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. We start with economic news, where the Federal Reserve announced earlier this week that interest rates are going to remain at a 23-year high despite claims that the economy is in great shape. With Bidenflation still running well above the Fed's 2% goal, it seems the rosy economic picture painted by some may not match the reality many Americans are experiencing. Yeah, maybe those that are making these policy decisions from their lofty perches need a refresher on what it looks like to buy actual groceries from the grocery store yourself. Turning to Florida, a federal judge has struck down the state's law protecting children from controversial gender transition procedures, deeming that it's unconstitutional to protect children. Basically, that's what I just read to you. However, the 105-page decision from the judge fails to clearly explain how the law violates the Constitution. No, that's because it doesn't. It violates the judge's ideology. Instead, the decision relies heavily on parroting talking points from the LGBTQ activists. It's interesting the same judge upheld a similar Florida law just 2 years ago, saying the Constitution doesn't dictate medical care regulations. Ideology trumps the law. Every time you can find a corrupt judge. In employment news, a troubling study from the Center of Immigration Studies reveals that only one quarter of job growth since 2019 has gone to natural-born Americans, with the lion's share going to legal and illegal immigrants. That might shed some light on why many remain dissatisfied with the current administration's handling of the economy, despite claims of a historically strong job market. In sports news, the transgender swimmer, I'm not going to call this guy by his chosen name, but it's the Thomas guy, you know who I'm talking about. He lost his legal challenge against World Aquatics over rules preventing transgender athletes from competing in elite women's races, including the Olympics. The Court for Arbitration of Sports dismissed Thomas's request for arbitration, stating he lacks standing to challenge the policy. World Aquatics called the ruling a major step forward in protecting women's sports and ensuring fair competition. Finally, a parental rights group has filed a federal lawsuit against a New York school district, accusing them of imposing unconstitutional speech codes that violate the First Amendment rights of conservative students. The policies in question compel students to use preferred pronouns and restrict speech deemed offensive or derogatory. Parents Defending Education argues that those policies are overly broad and they allow punishment of students for expressing unpopular opinions, including those based on firmly held religious views. The battle of free speech is not going anywhere anytime soon, I'm afraid. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is a story of God saving his people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, hello! Who are you?
My name is Dr. Andrew Walker.
Dr. Andrew Walker, where exactly do you serve?
And I serve as an associate professor of Christian ethics and public theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary here in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's a lot. And this is Wretched Radio. Dr. Andrew Walker, he's going to be in town next week delivering 10 lectures on Christian ethics. Please consider joining us. If you are near Atlanta, it is a small studio audience. It's two evenings, Wednesday and Thursday night. He's going to deliver 10 lectures on Christian ethics. Why Dr. Andrew Walker? Glad you asked, because he's one of our new fellows. This ministry is changing. It's expanding. It is growing. And we are adding more voices. And wow, Dr. Andrew Walker has a voice. Rock solid and really agitatingly smart. You can join us, wretched.org/ethics, wretched.org/ethics. As long as I was using an Andrew Walker sound file, let me just push play again. Listen to this guy's tone. You need to understand, he has very strong opinions. He's not a reed that gets bent in the wind. He has very firm convictions, and yet tonally.
And I'm very excited about playing a role with the GPM fellows. My area of contribution will be in that field of Christian ethics. And you might be wondering, what is Christian ethics? And the simplest definition that I like to offer is Christian ethics is really applied theology, where we're seeking to take the biblical worldview, biblical theology, and to apply that in every area of our life.
That is a theme of our expansion, that theology is not visited or consulted. It's incorporated into everything.
And we're living in a time right now where we need more Christian ethics, not less. I like to tell my students that the scandal of Christian ethics is that Christians propose to announce that we have a definitive, clear, and authoritative ethic, that it's not subjective, it's not relativistic, it's not an ethic that says you do you or live your truth. It is an ethic grounded on the fact that God has revealed who He is in His Word and what He demands of us and how we live our lives in conformity with His moral law.
Amen to that.
A moral law that is always for our good and always for His glory as well.
Now, I could stop playing that Andrew Walker clip from our YouTube video announcing our new fellows that are joining us here at the ministry, but then I wouldn't have a segue.
And what's interesting right now is that we're living at a time where even some non-Christians like Elon Musk and Joe Rogan are kind of accidentally saying out loud what can't be said, that without something like Christianity in the public square, society is just going to kind of careen off a postmodern cliff.
Indeed, many people are starting to talk like that, not the least of which would be Joe Rogan. Hey, what a providential coincidence. I happen to have a folder that's labeled Rogan Carlson. Jimmy, this was maybe a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Joe Rogan he's experiencing natural law. He's seeing how things are operating. I suspect this podcaster, commentator, MMA fighter didn't think about why the world is the way that it is until it started to change so radically. And even a convictional non-believer like Joe Rogan has had to look out and go, wait, what? You can't, huh? That doesn't make sense. Because there are so many things that don't make sense. And there's a reason for that. It's called natural law. I sometimes call it God's metaphysical spiritual laws baked into the fabric of the universe, where we just know certain things should be the way that they are, or they shouldn't be the way that they are. We kind of just get it. And Joe Rogan has changed. He's seen what liberalism has produced. He doesn't like what he sees. So he has been inviting Christians in to talk about Christianity. A couple of weeks ago, he had in Tucker Carlson. The conversation, man, went a little something like this.
So if you take artificial sentient intelligence and it has this super accelerated path of technological evolution, and you give artificial general intelligence, sentient artificial intelligence, far beyond human beings, you give it 1,000 years alone to make better and better versions of itself, where does that go? That goes to a god. It literally can create universes.
But what kind of god? So like, I think of it this way. So the first stage of the Industrial Revolution consisted of people building machines that were stronger than the human body.
Right.
Right? So the steam-powered loom.
Sure.
The backhoe.
Combustion engine.
They replace muscles.
Right.
Right. So that's what the machine does. It becomes stronger than the human body. The second stage, which we're in the middle of, consists of creating machines that are more powerful than the human mind. That's what computing is. And I would say AI or supercomputing is just that exponentially.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it a god in the sense that the machine, however powerful it is, any more than a backhoe is a god, mm-hmm. because it can dig a trench faster than 100 men. It is still something that people created. So the story hasn't really changed. At the center of the story are people, and their creative power may lead to unintended consequences, but the machines that they build did not make the universe and did not make people. People made the machines.
Are there dangers in artificial intelligence? Yeah, that's certain. But that doesn't mean we have to be afraid. It doesn't mean that they have to rule us. It doesn't mean that they have to become God. Now, what's the difference between an intelligence system that has amassed all of the information that is known on the internet? What is wrong with calling that God? There's a number of problems. Number one, it's not alive. God is a living being. Second of all, anything that it determines is a moral is a conclusion. God determines what is moral. That is a very big distinction. And finally, I would say this to the people who are terrified that AI could become a god. It is a limited knowledge. They just don't know all things. God knows everything. He knows how many little tiny hairs are on the back of a flea that is on the back of a black cat in Tibet. Everything. It even goes molecular. God knows everything. And not only does God know everything, and we want to be careful of this because we don't want to go all Greg Boydian, he also knows what is possible. He knows what the different what the different outcomes could have been, but he has predetermined what they are going to be. So he knows the future, but he also knows all of the possibilities. It doesn't mean that God responds. That's open theism. That is anathema. But I'm saying that God does know what he could have done this, he could have done this, he could have done this, he could have done that. He knows all of those things. A computer is never going to know those things. Never is going to be able to put all of that together. So it can still be a tool. But I find it fascinating that Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson move from artificial intelligence into a conversation about God. And Joe Rogan, he's thinking deeper, and he's not the only one. I think Jordan Peterson has perhaps made a greater progression. It doesn't seem like he's a believer yet, but he's one of those guys who is going, this is what we are seeing is so broken. There's got to be another explanation. And they're starting to turn toward Christianity.
But I would say the part I agree with is there's a spiritual component here for sure. People will worship AI as a god. AI, Ted Kaczynski was likely right, will get away from us. We will be controlled by the thing that we made. All those are bad. Like, that's just bad. And we need to say unequivocally, it's bad. It's bad to be controlled by machines.
Nah, don't know what that looks like exactly. It can run a lot of stuff. It's going to put a ton of people out of work. But I don't think it's ever going to run a human being. I just saw some, I don't know if it was a commercial or some show, but they said something like the human brain is more complex than the entire universe. You AI can't build an entire universe, and your brain is more complex. Why? Because God designed it. I'm not terrified of AI. I think it has all kinds of intrinsic problems that need to be considered ethically, which will be another one of the subjects that Dr. Andrew Walker, look at this full circle, that Dr. Andrew Walker discusses as a part of really our relaunch as a ministry. And he's going to be joining us in studio next week. If you can join us in Atlanta, visit wretched.org/ethics, and you can join us in studio. And you, whoa, it's going to be like drinking from a fire hose. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A brave new world requires a brave new response. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Andrew Walker, ethics professor at Southern Seminary, joining us in studio next week to discuss Christian ethics, 10 lectures, how to formulate Christian responses to our brave new world issues. You can register. Better make it snappy. Don't have a lot of chairs. Wretched.org/ethics, and you can join us as he discusses, among other things, artificial intelligence. Because it's a thing. And it appears that we Christians haven't been giving it enough thought. Now, granted, it is a new development, advancement, presumably, of humankind. But we should be the ones who lead these conversations. We should be the ones who say, hold on, there are some ethical problems with unbridled AI. Tucker Carlson entered the Joe Rogan studio a couple of weeks ago, and I have to confess, increasingly, I'm finding Tucker Carlson more interesting. I always thought he was a rather pleasant chap, but it seems he's thinking deeper and bigger and broader, and he's making advancements in his Christian understanding. So he's claiming to be a Christian. I think he still says he's an Episcopalian. Well, that ain't good. But I heard him being interviewed on a program, and he said, increasingly, I just don't think all of this is random. And increasingly, I think that this is ordered and controlled. So I guess I'm becoming a Calvinist. And I went, okay, he understands that there's a Calvinism, Arminianism, Roman Catholic, Protestant. And one of the subjects that I find him to be most compelling about is the subject of human advancement, specifically in the realm of technology. And he has probably been the loudest voice to say, hold on, let's stop. Before we let machines rule us, we need to think this thing through.
Well, if God creates everything,
what?
If God created the universe and God creates people, God probably creates a process. And
no, ex nihilo, out of nothing, which is a reminder that God is more powerful than any artificial intelligence. Was just reading a new book on the ascension, haven't gotten far enough into it, but the ascension of Jesus Christ is regularly, when the subject happens to be brought up, it's mocked. Wait a second, man standing there, bunch of guys worshiping him, and then he just floats up into the air and he's consumed by the clouds. Ridiculous. Why do they think that's ridiculous? Well, we don't have a scale. Because I think that if you don't have any sort of understanding that God created the universe out of nothing, then something like a man, if you will, levitating or rising in the air, defying gravity, that's crazy. Not if God created the universe. Out of nothing. That's nothing. Nothing. Walking on water. How ridiculous. He created the water and all the fishies therein. He's the one that did all of this. It is not far-fetched that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. But I think the reason that people find the miracles throughout the last 100 years is because of Darwinian evolution. They believe just, we don't need to deal with the God who created ex nihilo. Okay, we've got a manageable God who has a process. Wrong.
We think that we are very important because we are very important to us.
But no, we observe. We are important. What species besides human beings is running the place? Even comes close.
Are we very important in the universal sense? Not really. Like, if the Earth just imploded and disappeared, if the sun went supernova and our whole solar system was blown to bits, the universe still exists.
It depends how wide you're... For sure. In the end, as Conan O'Brien, the famous philosopher, once said, every grave goes unvisited, which is true. And that's an important perspective. Pull out the lens a little bit. Mm-hmm. Does it really matter? No, it doesn't.
Well, yes and no. Because it does matter in God's economy, in the textbooks that will not be burned up, the ones that contain the deeds of human beings, both good and evil, they're recorded forever. So they do have eternal significance, but only because there is a God who created everything ex nihilo.
But it does matter.
Do your children matter?
Yes, sure.
Do their lives matter? You die for them?
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Everything matters. If you're not comfortable, exactly. It matters. If you're sitting here like you don't want to wear headphones, like let's not wear headphones. That matters. Everything matters. At scale.
But what matters most, like...
Right, is the evil, right? The evil is it's the same thing as saying the necessary evil of dropping nuclear bombs on civilians is if you don't do that, then there'll be more evil.
Without a compass, conversations like this are going to kind of go sidewindering. That's right, sidewindering. Joe Rogan needs a compass. He's seeing what is happening in society, and he knows that ain't aiming in the right direction. This needs to be reconsidered, the conversation with Joe Rogan, Tucker Carlson, continuing.
Imagining your God, you have unlimited power, and you have omniscience. You can imagine what the future is going to be. You can't. You're a person. Like, you can't even make your wife happy.
Right.
Like, the limits of your power are really obvious. The limits of your wisdom, same. So, like, don't jump into big things whose outcomes you can't predict with certainty. Like, you can't know. Go in with humility. I guess that's what I'm saying. If
before Joe Rogan responds, he's talking again about artificial intelligence. You get into fights at home, but you say, let's just unleash AI and let it fly. We'll keep it under control. You can't even handle the small things. How are you going to handle the big things?
Evolution is real. And if there is this
Hello.
But it's
Hello.
Visible. Like, you can measure it in certain animals.
You can measure adaptation.
Yeah.
But there's no evidence that evolution. In fact, I think we've kind of given up on the idea of evolution. The theory of evolution as articulated by Darwin is like kind of not true.
Hmm. So my understanding about Tucker Carlson is that he lives in upstate New York in the woods. Very small town. If you've ever wondered, probably haven't, but if you've ever wondered, does he ever travel? I think the answer to that is obvious. He's clearly been to Kentucky and the Creation Museum. He's talking like the Ken Ham here.
In what sense?
Well, in the most basic sense, the idea that, you know, all life emerged from a single cell organism and over time, and there would be a fossil record of that, and there's not. And
there's not a fossil record of transitionary species, like species that are adapting to its environment.
There's tons of record of adaptation, and you see it in your own life. I mean, I have a lot of dogs. I see adaptation in dogs, you know, through the litter to litter. But no, there's no evidence at all that none, zero.
Wow.
That, you know, people, you know, evolve seamlessly from a single cell amoeba. No, there's not. There's not. There's no chain in the fossil record of that at all. And that's why you don't actually hear people, you hear them make reference to evolution because the theory of adaptation is clearly, obviously true. But Darwin's theory's totally, that's why it's still a theory almost 200 years later, you know. We have not found that at
all. Wow. Wonder if he also went to the Ark Encounter. I can live with the word evolution as long as you slap micro in front of it, which is another way of saying adaptation. There is zero evidence of macro evolution. Well done, Tucker. You should see the look on Joe Rogan's face.
And I have my own theories on it, but they're not proven.
What are your theories?
God created people, you know, distinctly, and animals. I mean, I think that's like, I think what every person on Earth thought until the mid-19th century, actually.
Right.
But it's not a new idea.
I think Tucker Carlson might actually be possessed by Steve Lawson. I cannot state that definitively, but it's sounding like it.
They didn't have computers. They didn't have a general understanding that we have today of the process.
Do you think we understand more now?
Yes.
Really?
You don't think that we understand more today?
We understand way less. We understand so little that
there's a category problem here. Having data, having information. That's not the same as knowing more in a sense of wisdom. Even philosophically, have we really advanced?
We're actually sitting here allowing like a bunch of greedy, stupid, childless software engineers in Northern California to like flirt with the extinction of mankind. So no, previous generations would be like, what? No, stop.
And I don't know that we need to stop, but we should put the brakes on some of these things, shouldn't we? Look at the cell phone. Did any? There were probably a few voices going, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You're putting a computer into a device my kid can tote around and access virtually anything good, bad, or evil? There were a few voices, but not many. So we want to start being a louder voice. And that is what we are building here at this ministry. Dr. Andrew Walker is going to be one of those voices. Imagine how he'd engage with Joe Rogan. Well, you can engage with Dr. Walker if you join us next week in studio. It's free. He's going to be delivering 10 lectures on Christian ethics on Wednesday and Thursday night. And you can register to Dimension. It's for free at wretched.org/ethics. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.